Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of owning and managing through disruption and crisis. Joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and experts on our topic, Mike Ochstein, president of Price Realty Corporation, and Renee Bluestein, president of Price Realty Management Corporation. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul.
So, Mike, you know, in our conversations prior to the show, I happen to know a little bit about your background, and you definitely have seen your share of disruptions and crisis, especially the one that we're currently in with the pandemic, and how it affects multifamily properties. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and when you started and how you got started and the first crisis or disruption that you encountered?
Great. Well, Paul, I moved to Texas just to get into the real estate business, coming from the Midwest back in 1982, 1983, when interest rates were over 20%, the only part of the country that was booming and real estate was the Texas market. So I started with Marcus and Millichap back in 1983, and I remember getting in the business. Things were booming. They, you know, to buy multifamily properties, they had this accelerated depreciation. Everybody was buying apartments the only purpose for buying multifamily in the early 80s was for tax shelters. No economics, buy, write off 2-to-1, 3-to-1, and pay no income tax. Well, and if you got any, if multifamily was breathing, people were buying it back then. So lo and behold, and I was just an investment broker just starting right out of college, and lo and behold, they changed the tax laws back in 87. And I remember calling my dad, you know, because he was in the manufacturing business, concrete blocks in the Midwest, and, you know, with rates being high, construction pretty much stopped, and, you know, things were tough. But here, the first disruption was in 1987. They changed the tax laws, took away all the tax incentives of, you know, buying commercial real estate, especially multifamily, and that just completely threw the multifamily business in disruption, because there was all this supply, not a lot of people coming in to fill in those supplies. They were not, the multifamily was not bought on economics, but on tax, you know, strictly tax and how much we could write off. And that created the first S&L crisis, which was being a broker in the multifamily product was kind of a boom time for us, because all the deals that were either bought or sold, a majority of them went back to the banks and the lenders, and the banks needed investment brokers to handle all this inventory that went back, and that was the first creation of the Resolution Trust Corporation. So that was a big time disruption. A lot of people that were blowing and going during the heydays of the early 80s, a lot of them never recovered or survived and never got back into the business. And so I first started representing all these different savings loans and banks on all this foreclosure multifamily product. So that was the first major disruption, and really gave me the first start of acquiring, you know, back in 1988, really dates me here, but buying my first duplex and then buying my first deal on the courthouse steps, a HUD property located on Spring Valley Road between Coit and Central. And that was really the beginning where I kind of got out of the brokerage business and made a decision, you know, I'd rather own and manage these properties and do this for a full-time career.
Well, you know, I would guess that back at that time in 87 when all this was happening, I remember it well with the Resolution Trust company and everything that was happening. I mean, the economy, I was in Houston and you were in the Dallas area. I was in Houston. It was unbelievable to see all these people that were doing so well just completely lose everything. And you ended up, I guess, seeing that most everything as far as multifamily properties was either in Chapter 11 or in foreclosure, and creating a lot of opportunities for folks like you who wanted to get started. I'm just curious, the two properties that you mentioned, the duplex and the one on the courthouse steps, do you still have those?
No, so it's, I mean, I remember it's like yesterday, Paul. It's like the first duplex was right in the Lakewood area on Orem, Skillman and Orem Street. And so we bought this duplex, you know, did a value add to it, cleaned it up, fixed it up. And then we eventually actually tore it down and built like six townhomes that we sold on that site, and we did extremely well. And then the second project was called Huntington Townhomes, which was just east of Spring Valley, west of Central. And it's kind of an interesting story where it was my partner and I got my parents involved, and I think, and we bought it on the courthouse steps for $3,000 a unit. It was, when I left Marcus and Millichap, I actually moved my offices in there, and it was a two-pipe chiller system, moved in the summer, left Marcus and Millichap, moved in the summer, had no heating or no cooling, no heating, and it's 100 degrees. You know, we had fans. I had bought, like, so I moved my offices in there, and I left a really nice, cozy office in Marcus and Millichap in this renovation project on Spring Valley Road with no ACs, and the way the previous owner fixed the sewer system, you just cut the pipe. So it was a mess, to say the least. But, you know, like, we didn't have any plan, Paul. We didn't know what, you know, we just come up, my partner and I, I'll never forget, well, we need to do something to the fronts of this property to make it more attractive. Okay, let's just do it. Or we needed to redo the pool areas. Okay, let's just do it. And I think I just had no plan, we just did off the seat of our pants. And I think I had every credit card hocked up to the heavens to finally get that project. My parents quit taking my phone calls because it seemed like every 5 minutes I'd eventually call them for more. You know, we needed to put more money in this deal, Mom and Dad. And they go, we don't have any more money to put into this. So that was blood, sweat, and tears with no plan to try to get this thing turned around. And we had we fixed it up. I think we spent probably $16,000-$17,000 a unit fixing it up, everything from putting individual HVACs to all new appliance package to new roofs, new cosmetic exterior, fronts to give it more little sex appeal, and eventually got it stabilized. Eventually we were able to refinance it with one of the agencies, pay back the bank, pay back my parents, and we held it for a long time. And I'll never forget, Spring Valley back then has really turned around since, we bought it in the early 90s. It was pretty rough, and the people that lived around that area were really concerned of how bad the apartments deteriorated, and actually got an award from the city of Richardson how we turned it around. And actually Spring Valley has really, turned the corner. But that was, I lived on that property, managed out of that property, and eventually, once we got it stabilized, was able to afford to move into an office suite. And that's when I really realized that, my background was more on the deal side, and I thought I really needed some expert help in managing this stuff, because, I come from the deal side. I come from finding the deals, and I needed some management help. And that's really when Renee Bluestein, who we now work together for over 25 years, and she's been my partner in crime and has kept me out of trouble for all these years. And she's really has been the key to the success, because for every deal guy, you really need an unbelievable person that runs the day-to-day and oversees putting the plans together, putting the budgets together, making sure there's no overruns, and scrutinizing the expenses on all these deals.
Darrell, it sounds like with that property, the way you were describing it, that for that area, which you said has turned the corner now, that you are a pioneer. And you know what they say about pioneers, you're either on the leading edge or the bleeding edge. And it sounds from your story like you were on both. But you did good with it. And Renee, we've got a little bit of time left in this segment. You indicated that you were around in the business during that disruption with the tax laws changing and so forth, not at Price, but in the business. What kind of memories do you have of that?
Well, that's about when I started. So when the tax laws changed and things started happening, I didn't really understand how that affected our occupancy or people paying rent. Well, the oil bust also happened at the same time. And
sure.
The company I was with, our entire portfolio was Houston and Dallas.
Oh.
We had some development partners in the Carolinas and Colorado, some outlying properties. So I was immediately thrust into a group that did nothing but workouts and bankruptcy. So I was my company's expert witness in bankruptcy court. So it's kind of a crash study course on multifamily management that happened really, really fast.
All right.
And
well,
I can hear the lies.
Well, I'm sure you did. We got to take a quick break right now. We're going to be back after these messages. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, welcome back to Multifamily Matters. I would like to remind our listeners that you are able to make show suggestions, topics, and guest ideas, and listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters through our website at multifamilyradio.com. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio today are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and experts on our topic, Mike Ochstein, president of Price Realty Corporation, and Renee Bluestein, president of Price Realty Management Corporation. And our topic today is owning and managing through disruptions and crises. And Renee, before the break in the first segment, we were talking a little bit about management. Mike had said that how important it is to have management in place to start managing. Of course, price has grown over the years, but let's talk a little bit about management philosophies, especially during crisis in multifamily. What type of things do you think our listeners should pay attention to when there's a disruption or a crisis happening?
Well, it's always worked for me. It sounds very simple, but I just really get back to basics and try to get everyone else focused back to basics. I mean, it's a time when your on-site staff, regardless of experience level, need a lot of direction from the corporate level. It's not that they can't handle their day-to-day. They just, it's different. You have to watch expenses. You need more income, or you need this or that. You have lender satisfactions you have to fulfill. So I just try to get back to basics. We keep it clean. I always tell people it doesn't cost anything to push a broom. Doesn't cost you anything to keep something clean. Communication with your residents, communication with your staff. And you have to use a lot of common sense and hopefully a logical mind so that when you're performing your daily tasks, you're going in the right direction. Unfortunately, in a lot of this crisis management that we do, occupancy drops in occupancy play a key role in our operations. And the first thing is, of course, you offer a special, you lower your rent, you do things like this, which in years of working, we've realized is not necessarily the right thing to do, and it's not necessarily the best thing to do. Unfortunately, it's what the submarkets or the markets do, and you kind of follow suit. So I just, working with budgets, I try to teach people how this affects one thing. Everything is a domino effect. If you lower your rent over here, you have to watch an expense over here. You have to do something over here. I try to teach people in that way what is best for the property. Yes, you may be able to lower rent, but you've got to have an occupancy or an economic occupancy of a certain level. You have to watch your expenses, but you can't let your liability slide. You have to maintain your property. You can't create something that becomes deferred that ends up costing you twice as much later. So it's a real balance.
And I guess you're always having to keep your eye on the target, which I guess is increasing the NOI of the property and ultimately the property value. That's something that's important to the owners and investors. And you know, I guess you have when you're looking through a crisis, some of that has to be adjusted. Correct.
Correct, and that's absolutely right. And that sometimes the preservation of the NOI is just keeping it the same, so that
right.
It doesn't drop. So yes, I mean there have been many times when we have gone back and we lower expenses. It's doesn't always work. I mean, obviously, you don't control everything, but the controllable items that you have, we will go through everyone's budget and we'll lower this. You know, usually it's a percentage, and then get people refocused. Of course, with our regional supervisors, we do a lot more, micromanagement, even though people hate that word. It's not that we're in there doing the day-to-day stuff for everyone, but unfortunately, you have to have constant contact. That is the only way to make anything work in a crisis management situation. You have to know what's going on, because if someone veers off the course a little bit, you got to figure out how to get them back on. And then if it's, they've done something that will eventually cause you a loss in income or something a little bit later down the road, you have to have a corrective action. And you can't let it get so far out of control that there's no going back. Unfortunately, those situations happen, and it's a long road.
Well, that's all good, sound advice for our listeners. And Mike, I know that we were talking about the disruption caused by the tax law changes in 1987, but then you have a disruption that occurs to multifamily in the early 2000s with everybody being able to qualify for a home mortgage. Talk a little bit about that and how it affected the industry.
So, back in the early 2000s, Paul, it was like anybody that could breathe could qualify for a loan with, zero money down. you could get into a home. I remember one of the properties that we still own that we bought from Lincoln in the early 2000s, 2002 to be exact. It was an unbelievable property in a great location. And then all of a sudden, you know, our whole demographics and everything started changing, because everybody started buying homes. And it really affected our occupancy. It affected our ability to even stabilize rents at that property because, you know, people were moving out. You know, if you could breathe, you could qualify for a mortgage. So this led up to the complete financial meltdown, you know, back in 2008, where everything basically came to a standstill. You know, if you had a property that was up for a refinance, there weren't any refinancing dollars. All the lenders were either, you know, kicking the cans down the road or, because there was no debt in order to refinance. So that was really your second disruption, which, you know, actually created a lot of opportunities from, 2008 till now, is that, you know, there wasn't any debt. Borrowers or, you know, people that owned and operated apartments, you know, weren't able to refinance or didn't have their NOIs were less when they, you know, bought them in the early 2000s. And I think, you know, the reason that we were able to survive is what Renee said earlier, is that our assets were well maintained. There wasn't a lot of deferred maintenance. We communicated well with our lenders. I remember I had three or four deals that were, you know, due in 2008, and there was no debt to be had. But the fact that because of these things, because we maintain these assets, that, you know, eventually the financial markets and the feds, here the feds came to rescue again like they have now. And then, you know, it slowly opened up where you could refinance. And we were, and throughout this whole history of time since we've been involved, we have no legacies. And I think it really boils down to, you can always buy the greatest deal in the world, but if you don't have good management and good common sense and you're prepared, because there's always going to be a rainy day, Paul. And if you're not prepared for it, then you're going to have issues with your lenders and you're going to have issues with your investors. So fortunately for us that, and because of my partner and Renee, that we kept the basics. We kept the additional, you know, cash in the bank. We didn't pay out everything to our investors. We kept up with all the deferred maintenance. So for every disruption, we were able to get through it because of the way we managed, you know, the assets.
Yeah, and I like the term rainy day. I think a lot of people who are going through the current crisis would think that that was an understatement, but really that's kind of what it is. I mean, it's you know these things are going to happen. History tells us that there's going to be disruptions and that there's going to be times that's cyclical, where you go through the good times and then something occurs and you've got to figure out a way to weather it. And as you said, with the best management in place doing your deferred maintenance and not paying out everything to your investors, you've got an opportunity to weather those storms. So we are going to take a break and come back with our third segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit RasaFloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal?
Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of owning and managing through disruptions and crises. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and experts on our topic, Mike Ochstein, president of Price Realty Corporation, and Renee Bluestein, president of Price Realty Management Corporation. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mike, we were talking in the last segment about a couple of disruptions that occurred, the first in the early 2000s, the ability of people to get no money down mortgages, and as you said, anybody who could breathe could qualify and move from an apartment into a home, which is certainly a disruption. And then secondly, that led to the financial collapse of 2007-2008. Since that time, because you weathered these things over time, I think, you know, I've always been told with every problem, it creates an opportunity. So obviously there are opportunities created for people in multifamily to get properties, to purchase properties, obtain different assets due to the fact that these disruptions were taking place. Were you able to take advantage of those situations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you know, after eight, and you know, we had some debt that was, you know, coming due, and we had to put those to bed, and we were able to come out of that pretty successful, and we were able to refinance, pay back the existing lenders, and then we were able to expand in markets in Houston, where we have acquired about 1,200 units since. We also went into Austin, where we have another 1,200 plus units in Austin, and we teamed up with institutional partners and buying in DFW during that time. So we really grew the company, over 7,500 units. The market, rebounded, rents turned, occupancies firmed, and then so did prices. And looking back, Paul, it's like I wish I would have bought more, especially in early, 2009 to 2014, it was unprecedented. I mean, the prices and the rent growth, it was just a great time to be buying. And then the last couple of years, Paul, it's like, okay, everything's great. And, there's got to be something, everything doesn't just keep going up. Real estate was going up. Stock market was going up, and I'm going, God, there's just got to be something that's going to, in my mind, I go, it just can't continue like this. And, everyone's saying, well, the things are great. People want to live in apartments. But the pricing for a lot of our assets, like last year, for example, we weren't, we bought one deal in Houston, and even prior to that, we only bought one deal. It was very difficult. There was so much money chasing so many, you know, there was so much money chasing deals, and pricing, in our opinion, just got, you know, out of whack. And then, lo and behold, this little thing called COVID enters our market, and then it just puts shockwaves. And thank God that I have a partner like Renee that, you know, that's been through all these different disruptions. You know, it was something that we, you know, none of us have ever been, you know, nobody has ever been experiencing. And so, Renee, I think maybe you should talk about once, you know, we went to lockdown and what you did would probably be, I'll turn it over to you, just kind of talk about our, what we did during this management crisis, you know, to handle this, the situation that we're currently in.
You know, who could have ever foreseen this? We thought that just overbuilding and rents escalating too high would get us. But I guess, and this probably started in early March. It was several weeks before the actual stay-at-home order started to come out. And it just put everyone in a panic mode, and you didn't really know what to do. And you know, the health and the well-being of your own employees, much less all the residents, you know, are in your hands. But, you know, again, you just got to get down to basics and apply some common sense and some logic. So early on, we at least, I followed the CDC daily, and we were able to get out memos to our residents, memos to our offices. At least if you have these symptoms, please don't come in. You know, try to call into work. Don't come to work sick. Don't come in the office. Just telephone us. We'll take care of whatever you need. At that time, no one knew. So we were just trying to get the symptoms out like everybody else was and just try to keep sick people out of your office just like you would do during normal flu season. And then as, you know, a week or two would go along, you say, oh, my gosh, now you know, you can't let people in your office. Every single day, we were probably sending out 5 to 10 memos changing all of our operations. Every single thing that we did had to be changed. Of course, for Texas and for Dallas, by March 21st, 22nd, I think, is when we got our stay-at-home orders. And I just panicked. I thought, well, we can't operate and not go to work. We have to be at work. Well, then it comes out, not really, that you're an essential business, but, you know, you figure it out. And then once again, we had to change all of our operations. We closed all of our offices. We only responded to emergency maintenance requests, which, of course, all multifamily was doing at that time. I think we closed maybe a week or so before anybody else did. We had very strict policies on if you weren't feeling well and what to do if you didn't come to work. Very strict policies with residents, not letting them come in the office. We stopped package pickup. I mean, it was just amazing that within a week or so, everything that we've been known to do and the customer service we provide was all changed. It was like no customer service. You talk to people on the phone. You talk to people through email. All of our industry organizations, of course, by this time were involved with the CDC webinars, you know, informing us of situations and how to handle things. And then, of course, it came to try to collect rent when everyone started losing their job. And I believe we just reached out to everyone before rent was even due. You know, come and talk to us. If you've lost your job, we will work out payment plans. We suspended late fees for everyone, whether you lost your job or not. We would work with everyone, whether you, you know, lost your job or not, and just try to make things easier. You know, we still had people that needed to move. We still had people that needed to move in. We still needed to lease apartments. So then you videotape and you go viral, and all of these, your websites and all of your online marketing tools that you've been using for years, well, now you have to depend on all of that. So, remarkably, it worked out very well, or had, you know, 2.5-month period so far, getting people through our door, figuring out a way to lease apartments, getting leases signed, helping people move out. you know, when you're not going near them, it was a strain on everyone and very difficult. And most of our employees were on board with everything. We were very lucky. We had a lot of very good morale. People's attitudes were wonderful. I heard a lot of comment from staff that they could tell that as a company we were taking care of them, and it made them feel much more relaxed and responsible to take care of the residents the way that we were. I mean, we provided everyone with masks, with gloves, with sanitizers, anything and everything that we can find, which, you know, we continue to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It really sounds like, besides having to change, you know, everything you do to meet the new challenges of dealing with a crisis, that you were really having your people and as far as dealing with your employees, you were managing with compassion. And that's something that I think goes a long way towards both employee and resident retention.
I think it does. And, you know, when some of these stories started coming out of different companies not providing masks for people or doing this or doing that, and mine, I think, well, I just don't understand that. Common sense will tell you that you need to do these things. You have to protect people. You have to protect your residents. You have a lot of people that their health is in your hands. And, you know, that's kind of a motivator. Again, I go back to this common sense and logic, but sometimes that doesn't seem like it's effective. I don't know,
yeah,
with other people. We remember that a resident for some reason had to come in one of our offices. I don't know why. And 2 days later, that resident got their test results back, and they were positive with COVID.
Right.
Everybody had their masks on. Yes, everybody had their masks on. Did everybody have this or this or that? Yes, everybody did them. Great. And we, as a company, we've been very fortunate. I believe we've had one positive case in our whole organization. We, you know, had some scares. People had to self-quarantine, but we've been very fortunate with that.
All right.
And then, you know, now you got to move to opening up. And that's a whole new ballgame.
Yes, it is. And we're going to take a break right now and be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of owning and managing through disruptions and crisis. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and experts on our topic, Mike Ochstein, president of Price Realty Corporation, and Renee Bluestein, president of Price Realty Management Corporation. We were talking before the break in the third segment a little bit about managing during a crisis and so forth. But, you know, at Price, Renee, when you joined in 1995, it's a completely different size company than it is today, and you're in different markets today than you were then, in more markets. Talk a little bit about, because you're going to have crises and disruptions that happen on a cyclical basis throughout a career. So talk a little bit about your strategy for managing through an explosive growth like you've seen at Price.
Okay. You know, I remember in 2003 to 2006 or 7, things were so bad, I thought it can't get worse. It just can't get worse. Next year can't get this bad. Well, it kept getting worse every year. Well, then, you know, things turn around, they start to get better. And I think, well, my gosh, you just can't keep doing this. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. And one thing I have learned from a management standpoint is things are getting better, better, and better. Is you almost have to be more meticulous, and pay more attention to your staff and who you hire. Because when things are good, even the worst employee and the mediocre can shine. And then the minute something starts to change and go bad, even if it's for short term, then that poor employee and that mediocre employee shine right through. And so it's interesting that when you're working with staff through this and rents are going up and expenses are stabilized and NOIs are going up and owners are thrilled, investors are thrilled, you don't realize that you're dealing with some people that may not be able to take you any further. And I think that you, in order to continue to grow and to get through these cyclical crises, whatever they are, you have to not let down your guard, and you have to be constantly aware and abreast of your staff. And that, to me, is probably when education should be pushed at its finest, is to keep people educated, make sure you know who you have, and that they can not only get you through what's going on now, which really is just happening on its own, so that when it stops happening, you've got a staff in place that's going to manage you through crisis. I think that from a mid-management level has gotten me a couple of times. And it has really made me aware.
I want to just ask you one quick question before we jump back over to Mike for a question. You have your CPM, don't you?
Yes, I do.
How has that helped you? I mean, that is a designation that I see so many people in the upper levels of management in multifamily that strive to achieve and obtain that designation because even though there's other designations offered through NAA, this is one that's offered through the Institute of Real Estate Management. And everyone who I've talked to who's gotten that says that it was a tremendous help for them, especially from understanding the financial aspects. Did you find the same thing?
I did. And I got mine really one of those first years I was in the industry when I was working on these bankruptcies and workouts. My mentor at the time said, just go take this in a year. And I think it's a 3 or 4 or 5 year program. I mean, just because of the timing that is involved. I'm like, okay. Right. So I think I opted out of the first session just because of my experience level. The second session was the financial, which, since that's my background, it was very easy for me, but also very informative. And the third was basically taking a property from pictures and financial statements and coming up with scenarios of economic obsolescence and what would you do. And being relatively new in the industry, that helped me so much. I mean, it was start to finish basically of what I've done through my whole career. And I did learn a lot, and I'm so glad that I did it.
Yeah. No, I'm always in awe of people that do that, especially from an industry that has other opportunities, educational opportunities available to reach out for that. Mike, I want to jump back to you for a second, and talk about where do we go from here, we're in COVID and so forth. And we talked earlier in the show about economic opportunities arise from crises and disruptions in multifamily. I'm not sure that that's going to be the same with this pandemic situation as it was in the past, because there seems like there's plenty of money available for through funds and investors on the sidelines. So that buying properties at a bargain price may or may not be something that happens during this disruption. What are your feelings?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Paul. There's a lot of capital that's on the sidelines. There's a lot of institutional. My institutional partners are pencils down right now. There's a lot of unknowns. Once the stimulus runs out, how quickly will employers rehire? Even with that being said, I think in the short term, pencils are down. Buyers are looking for some sort of discount off the purchase price, be anywhere from 5, maybe to 15, maybe even higher to transact now. There's not a lot of inventory on the market. A lot of sellers are out there thinking, well, we've received these opinions of values at X, and now with COVID we're down to Y, and our NOIs are a little bit less, so maybe we should hold off. So there's going to be a lot of uncertainty, and maybe things do not pick up until possibly the late in the third or early in the fourth quarter, till we really see what transpires here once all the stimulus and all this money from the Fed and the government, and which was had to be done, but what happens when it runs out? We've been very fortunate, and I think nationwide, most of the operators, we were concerned about April collections. We were concerned about May collections. Well, they're all coming in 96-97% of billed rent. So, rent is still coming in strong. June, every month we're going to be worried about it. And then we're going to be worried about it more, like I said earlier, about, there's the unemployment and stimulus. What happens when that's gone? And then how quickly do employers rehire. And at the same time, it won't be the discount what happened in 08. There's too much capital on the sidelines. Debt is at an all-time low. You got a 10-year treasury. Everybody borrows either off the 10-year treasury or off the LIBOR. And rates are still very extremely low, and people are still, well-capitalized. But that being said, there's always going to be opportunities, and it boils down to if this group hadn't managed, this group hadn't keep up with the reserves, these people, so there'll still be some opportunities, and hopefully, we've been good, through our, whole career of finding those opportunities. And, we just focus in on the four major markets of, Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and we'll continue to look for new investors. We're always looking for new investors to continue to grow our company, and we will find we'll find those opportunities, and we're not expecting any big discounts. All we're trying to find is deals that we can bring in our operations and make improvements and generate decent cash on cash returns and buy properties that we want to own for the long term. We've been in this business for the long term. We're not promoters. We're operators. We own, we manage, and we manage for the long term. Our employees that we hire, if you looked at our roster, a lot of employees, like for Renee, has been here for over 25 years, but you'll find a lot of long term employees. We take care of our people, and because the key to this whole success through all disruption is the people on the ground, and I would give the shirt off my back to the people that work for me, because I would never in a million years have this type of success if it hadn't been for what the organization, the people that work here, and the people that work for Renee. And Paul, I really appreciate you giving us this opportunity to be on your show. And anybody that would like to contact us, it's pricerealtycorp.com, or you can email me directly at mike@pricerealtycorp.com. We're basically 24/7. So anyway, thank you very much,
Renee,
for this opportunity.
Well, you're welcome, Mike. Renee, I wanted to ask you, you know, what are your needs? You know, everybody has something they want to do to improve their operation. What type, you know, if wishes were fishes and you could choose what you want, what would be your needs? Because our listeners may be able to help you out.
You know, we're always looking for the best of the best when it comes to site staff, regional managers. We're always looking for the best of the best. We feel like we can offer a lot. We offer a lot of education. We, you know, our industry, it's a tough business, and it's the jobs are not easy, and the hours sometimes can be very long. But we try to minimize the administration level as much as we can. We give everyone the tools that they need to get their job done, pay our bills on time. And we, you know, we think that we offer a very good work environment. But key personnel, we are always looking for.
And if someone wanted to,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, if someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they get in touch with you?
Our website, pricerealtycorp.com, and I believe that there's a tab for human resources that goes straight to our HR department.
Great. That's great. Mike, I wanted to ask you to I'd like to get you back on another show and talk a little bit about, and Renee as well, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of the business. So many things have changed in this industry since, I mean, I can remember when someone wanted to look for an apartment, when I started out in the industry decades ago, you had to go to a grocery store and get a book. Now everything's online, so I want to get you back on to talk a little bit about that in the future. But I do want to let our listeners know that I appreciate the fact that both Mike Ochstein and Renee Bluestein with Price Realty were on today. We are going to be back next week with another topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.